What's up, everybody? This is Rise to the Mission podcast, where you're encouraged, motivated, and challenged in the Word of God, and also in life. This is a good podcast to listen to when you're waking up, when you're working out, or before you go to bed. Without further ado, hope y'all enjoy this podcast, and if you do, check out my mom's ministry page at amberbrownministries.com, and let's get straight into it.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to Rise to the Mission. I love this family. I'm so thankful and excited to have you with me and listening on today. I want to go ahead and just say a quick prayer going into the Word because I'm excited to be able to encourage you. I'm thankful that the Lord given us His Word, amen, and His Holy Spirit to be able to speak to one another and encourage one another in those times of suffering, amen. So Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You on today, God. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that Your words never return unto us void, Father God. But Father, whatever we speak, it is going to be sent in the direction it needs to go. Father, I pray that this is every word is a seed planted in someone's heart. Father God, I pray for peace in the mind, for comfort to souls. God, I pray for cleansing. I pray for cutting away of soul ties. I pray, Father God, that You give us healthy soul ties, Father, and any other soul tie that we are not supposed to have, Father God, that is unhealthy, that is toxic, to cut it right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank You, God, that in our suffering, Father God, and in our weakness, we are made strong, Lord. So it's in our suffering moments, it's in our hard moments, it's in our moments where we really want to give up, that we can't give up, that we have to keep going and have to keep pushing. In the name of Jesus, I pray that You just touch everyone listening, and I thank You, Lord, for using me. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, brothers and sisters, I want to get on here. It was on my heart and in my heart, and the Lord has been just dealing with me all day on just Paul's suffering, the suffering of the people, but also the blessing, right? The benediction, amen, that we all have. We all have the blessing of the Lord, but we have to remain in Him. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and start at 2 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. And if not, write this down later. Go back and listen to this again. Amen. I know some of you may be in your cars. You may be working. You may be in bed about to go to sleep and just listening to this. So wherever you find yourself, just make sure you come back and you write this down. And you read the Word, amen, and you let it get into the fabric of your being, and not just listen to the words of someone else, but you also take time and you read the Word for yourself, amen. So this is really in 2 Corinthians 11 is talking about the sufferings of Paul, but I'm going to read and start at verse 22. So are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, and laborers more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 3 times was I beaten with rods. 1 was I stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Have you ever found yourself there? Verse 26, and journeyings often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. It's really important for us. I wanted to read that and start there, because there are many sufferings of Paul. You see, the Holy Spirit, through Paul's words, reveals the anguish and the suffering of someone fully committed to Christ. This is not going to be an easy journey. It's not going to be butterflies and rainbows all the time, my brother and sister. You have to be able to get through the trials and tribulations and the testings of your faith. Amen. And the cause for which Christ died. And he died so that we can get through it, so that he was the one that we could go to, so that his blood would cover us, so that any sickness and disease that we go through or anything like that, he's got it. We're covered. Amen. Paul was in fellowship with God's feelings and in sympathy with the heart of Christ. Amen. And so Paul shared Christ's sufferings, much in tribulation he encountered in serving God, great distress at the overwhelming sin in society. He served the Lord with many tears, and that can be found in 2 Corinthians 2 and 4. You know, warning the church night and day with tears for 3 years because of the destruction that was brought about by the distortion of the gospel through teachers not being faithful in God's value, amen, and to biblical apostolic faith, right? And so even grief in departing from beloved believers and his broken heart at their sorrow. So there was great heaviness and continual sorrow that Paul had to endure in his heart because of the refusal of his brethren to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's hard when you're going through things and, you know, or other people going through things and you know what can help them and you know that Christ is the answer, but not everybody calls on him as they are told in the gospel to do, right? So he went through a lot of grief, even grief over sin that was tolerated in the church. And, you know, nobody's perfect, but we hold a standard, amen? As the church of the living God, we hold a standard. There is groaning with the desire to be with Christ and free from sin and concern of the world, things that we're going through, that we're seeing that's going on in the world. Spirits, just our souls are groaning with a desire to be with Christ and for his coming. Amen. Even it talks about being troubled on every side because of his commitment to the moral of the church and the doctrine of purity. He had daily cares of the churches. He inward burning for Christians to be led in away from sin. Amen. And so there's just so many things, weeping over enemies of Christ's cross and the things he had to bear and go through. And there's things that we are going to have to bear and go through. We're going to have to deal with death. We're going to have to deal with the loss. We're going to have to deal with grief. We're going to have to deal with having to persevere in those moments where we want to give up, get up out of bed in those moments where we want to stay in bed and just cover up, right? Those moments of weakness when we want to cry, we want to stay there and become a victim. We can't because we're victorious. We are victorious in Christ, amen? We are not a victim and we are not going to remain a victim. I once was a victim, but I have been victorious since I named the name of the Lord. No matter if my situation looked victorious or if it didn't look victorious, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God was always going to take care of it. There's been times where I have been sad. There's been times where I have given up. But come on, I'm telling you, a just man may fall and fall and fall and fall and fall, but he's going to raise him back up again. So every time, come on, somebody, I know you've been hurting. I know you've been going through, but you're going to get up today. So I'm getting up today. I'm going to cry about it today, right? I'm crying about it right now, but I'm not going to cry about it tomorrow. I'm going to fix what I can fix, and I'm going to give everything over to God that I can't do. Like, there's your part, there's his part. Amen. And so we get into 2 Corinthians 12, and it talks about Paul's visions of the Lord. In verse 2, it talks about a man in Christ. So I wanted to talk about that because Paul refers to himself as a man in Christ who is taken up to heaven to receive revelations, right? Concerning probably Christ's gospel and the unspeakable glories, right, of heaven reserved for us whenever we get there. And so that was a privilege to receive that revelation that was given to him. It strengthened him. It enabled him to endure the long and severe sufferings. I mean, severe sufferings during his apostolic ministry. That is just encouragement in its own, knowing that we can read the word and we can read the testimonies of believers that came before us, the founding fathers, amen, fathers of faith, and just understand that, hey, we're not going through this alone. They've done it. Christ has already done it. He can feel everything that you're feeling because he's already been through it. He has already overcome the world, and that's why we are to be of good cheer, right? Amen, because he has overcome the world, and because we live in him, therefore we have already overcome the world. We just have to walk it out. In verse 7, it says, "And lest I should," and this is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now listen, we are all going to have a thorn in the flesh, my brother and sister. Okay, the word thorn, it means the idea of pain. It's trouble, sufferings, humiliation, physical infirmities, right? But it's not temptation to sin. So Paul's thorn, it remains undefined so that all those with a thorn can apply the spiritual lesson of this passage to them, to themselves, right? To us. So it wasn't a certain thorn so that we know that anything that we're dealing with can be a thorn in the flesh. So his thorn to demonic activity, really, it was permitted, right? But it was limited by God. So it was allowed, but it was very limited by God. So the enemy can't do anything without permission. At the same time, Paul's thorn was given to him from becoming proud over revelations that he had received. Paul's thorn kept him dependent in a greater measure on divine grace. So what am I telling you? So Amber, what are you saying to me? I'm saying that your thorn is going to keep you dependent a greater measure on God than if he would give you everything that you want. Okay, then if you never had to go through anything, if you never had to understand what grace is and understand how it feels to receive grace or understand what it means to lack, right? To be without. Now, God always gives you what you need, but there's times when he'll let you go a little bit without it, even though he knows that you need it in order for you to remain dependent on him. Amen. And so there's just things that we're going to have to go through. But he says in verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Grace is the presence, the favor, and power of God. God's grace and power are most clearly seen and profoundly revealed, right, in the midst of our weaknesses and our human weaknesses. Amen. And so the greater our weakness and trials for Christ, the more grace God will give to accomplish his will. And what he gives is always sufficient for us to live our daily lives, to work for him, and to endure our suffering and thorns and the flesh, whatever that may be in your life right now. And as long as we draw near to Christ, Christ will give us his heavenly strength and comfort, and we should boast and we should see eternal value in our weaknesses, because for they cause Christ's power to rest on us and live within us as we walk through life toward the heavenly throne, to our goal. Amen. And our goal is heavenly throne. I want to end with 2 Corinthians, I want to talk about 13, because listen, Paul's spirit of dedicated love for those that he is trying to help is really an example for all spiritual leaders. And this is a message for all spiritual leaders as well, because it really reveals a committed love, like a father to his children, right? It is a love that's ready to be spent for the sake of others. I mean, just ready. And that seeks nothing in return but the response of the hearts turned toward Christ. And that is very important right now in ending this podcast session. So in 2 Corinthians 13, I want you to understand that we are getting close to the farewell and the benediction of Paul. And so I want us to remember that 2 Corinthians 13, I'm going to read this and then I'm going to talk a little bit about it. "This is the third time that I am coming to you," that's what Paul says, "in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which therefore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. So verse 5, it says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that we should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Amen. Verse 9, for we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord has given me to edification and not to destruction. Come on, can I get an amen on that? So, verse 11, finally, brethren, this is the benediction, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Amen. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. That's what it says. Now, 13 verse 2, it says, I will not spare. A minister's love for his people demands firmness as well as affection. There comes a time when patience runs its course, and when, for the good of the church, offenders must be disciplined and made accountable for their sin, right? So sometimes this will require an individual to be removed and to be talked to, or whatever the case may be. We got to deal with things. Amen. And that's just the things that we deal with in the world. There has to be a firmness as well as affection. So we can have affection, encouragement, and a genuine love for people, but there has to be firmness. There has to be discipline. There has to be a standard, right? And we as believers have a standard that we must follow. Sometimes it's going to require that. It's going to require repentance. It's going to require fasting. It's going to require prayer. Whatever it is that is in us or that we're dealing with that needs to be given over to God, you're going to have to spend time with God, and you're going to have to give it over to him. Amen. It has to be removed. The things in you that can't be there has to be removed so that you can move forward. In verse 5, it talks about just examining, like, where are we in the faith? Where are you in the faith? No knowledge is as important to believers as the certainty that they have eternal life. Amen. So all professing Christians should examine themselves to determine that your salvation is a present reality and not just something that you said that you're saved, but you're not really living out the word and you're not really fully believing, right, that you can have what the Bible says or receiving the things of the kingdom. Amen. Because just because you say you're saved doesn't mean in the end that you're going to receive him and go to heaven, because you can always get off track and you can always, I guess you would say, turn your back on him. You can always turn your back on him whenever you know what you should do and you don't do, and you continue walking in disobedience. That's what I'm talking about. But verse 14, when it talks about grace and love and communion, and that's where I'm going to leave and to end on today. So Paul's benediction, it really witnesses to the New Testament church belief in the Trinity, right? Paul prays that the Corinthians may continually experience, number one, the grace of Christ, his nearness, power, mercy, and comfort. Number two, the fatherly love of God with all his blessings. And then number three, a deepening fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And so this is a threefold reality. It's our abiding blessings and our everlasting salvation will be sure, and our joy be full if we continue to walk fully in him, and if we allow God to really move in our life and the Holy Spirit to work and have deep fellowship with him and repent when we need to repent, which is daily, amen, and walk this thing out and continue persevering and continue growing, because we go glory to glory, faith to faith, strength to strength. And it is your word to God at salvation that you received him fully and that you are going to be completely trusting in him throughout your whole life until the day that your body can't live anymore, but your spirit will continue to live. So I want to encourage you on today that Apostle Paul, go and read the Word of God, go and read what the Holy Spirit gave Apostle Paul throughout the Word. He wrote 2/3 of the Bible. Amen. And so, I mean, he has a lot of revelation and a lot of wisdom given to him, and it was mostly all through tribulation and suffering. So this man, without a shadow of a doubt, knows what he's talking about. We have friends, we have people we talk to, you know, we get encouraged by, but make sure it's the Word. You are only going to live spiritually by the Word of God. You cannot live spiritually off of worldly advice. Advice or worldly wisdom that is not going to feed your appetite. You, as a believer who has a spirit of God on the inside of you, has to receive the Word of God in order to grow and to feel nourished. Amen. So I encourage you on today to get your butt in the Word, to get your butt to church. Amen. You are the church, but a church building, being with fellow believers, being with people that are going to encourage you and have faith and think like you, right? You do not want to stay at home and just always listen to stuff online and never be present, never be able to be in the presence of God like it is when people that are like-minded believers coming on one accord. There is nothing like the power and the presence of God when everybody is with you. Amen. It's just, it's strong. It could be strong, you know, on your own as well. I'm telling you, I've had me some moments driving in my car by myself, listening to worship music or just praying and talking to God and not listening to anything. And he will just download stuff in me. I could be at work and all of a sudden he'll download stuff in me. I could be anywhere and all of a sudden, you know, because I know the voice. I know how to discern the voice of God. But it's you must be able to get to a place like that where you can discern the voice of God and you are spending enough time with him and you are not just okay with only getting the Word part-time. You need to be a full-time Christian. Amen. And I seal this with the blood of Jesus Christ from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, and I bless them. In the name of Jesus Christ, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to my mom's podcast. If you like to read, go check out my mom's books on her website, Amazon, or Barnes & Noble. Remember, never give up. God's got you.